What I want to do here is we're going to start our day with 10-minute halacha series, and I wanted to pick topics that are achieve a few things. Number one, most of the time I'll try to keep it wackier topics if we can. If there's something that really needs to be covered, I won't make it wacky, but we'll keep wacky topics. But I want a topic that you cover a lot of halacha in 10 minutes. You can learn a lot of different things, and regardless of whether the topic is. So Lamashal today, what I wanted to do was talk to you about whether or not you could train a dog so that it does everything for you on Shabbos. What if you have a dog? You take a dog, and it'll turn on the lights for you, turn on the microwave, you know, everything. You could have, you know, I know you're not supposed to ask non-Jew to do something for you, right? That's Amira La'akum. We know about that. We'll get to that in a minute. But what about something like Amira La'kelev? Oh, you know, yes, Fluffy, and all of a sudden Fluffy turns on the lights. Fluffy, you know, does whatever malacha you need done on Shabbos, should it be mutter or not?
I came from Camp Simcha, and some of the campers, the first time, really, they have service dogs. And some of the campers are Jewish campers. They have a service dog where they tell the dog. The dog knows it. In camp, you have to. They have special buttons. You push the button, and it opens the doors for you. And the dog is trained that it sees
to be able to get it. Wow.
And wheelchair bound. So it's a service dog for somebody that's wheelchair bound or somebody that's never blind.
This topic is negating them too.
It's like Planet of the Apes.
What?
Planet of the Apes.
What do you mean? It's like Planet of the Apes?
Monkeys.
Oh, like train those level monkeys. If you have monkeys at that level. You know, it's interesting, it's the Planet of the Apes. The Gemara often will tell us whenever there's a halachic act that doesn't have particular halachic significance, the Gemara will say it's called a maisa kof be'alma. It's an act of an ape, an act of a monkey in general. It's really a mashal for meaning something does not have halachic importance. You can give it out to a monkey to do or whatever. So let's ask that Shiloh here by a dog, which is most in our reach to know that that's possible. Can you do it? So there's really, you know, I mean, think about an elevator is possible. What if you train your dog for anything? So there's two issues here. Issue number one is what you call Amira La'akum. We're going to analyze that. You put that in the number one over there. You all got your Spitze Gnauer pens. Amira La'akum is Aleph, Mem, Yud, Resh, Hey, Amira, to speak. La'akum. La'akum is a short abbreviation for a non-Jew. Lamed Ayin, Kuf Vav Mem. A little chup above the cuff. La'akum. Amira La'akum. Or number two, Shvisa Behemto. Oh. Shvisa Behemto is the concept that you're also not supposed to have your animals doing malacha on Shabbos. You, for example, can't be sitting down, laying in bed for Shabbos, but you have your cows working the land. Right? You have something called Shvisa Behemto. You're not allowed to put your animals to work for you on the Shabbos. There's two issues.
Is that not the answer, though?
It's not the answer, because this might not be anything you're asking the dog to do. Let's say the dog just even knows. Dog just knows when you walk in, it's going to turn on those lights. There's ways of training it with very minimal interaction. So let's discuss this issue first. You have two issues, Amira La'akum. I want to discuss the issue of asking non-Jews to do things for you on Shabbos. People don't understand it fully. They don't have a full conception of it. They have something about, what if I hint? What if I do this? Let's get to the bottom of it. So to understand Amira La'akum, asking a non-Jew to do something for you, there's a three-way machlokas rishonim to understand the source of it, what's behind it, and the way you understand these three sources lets us understand all the halachas that you need to know about Amira La'akum, about asking a non-Jew to do something for you. You know, by the way, sometimes when you understand the halacha well, you don't have to memorize thousands of halachas. You only have to memorize thousands of halachas because you don't understand why. But if you understood why, you would know how to answer all the different questions that come up. You understand that? Sometimes you have to memorize this detail, that detail, but if you understood what the basis is behind the Amira La'akum, you would know when to apply it. So number one, reason number one, it's Mathriwe Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand Amira La'akum. Number one is Rashi and Avodah Zarah 9a. Rashi tells us, asking a non-Jew to do malacha for you violates the pasuk in Yishayahu. Yishayahu, one of our prophets. It violates the pasuk in Yishayahu. Daber davar mishum chavtzecha. Daber davar. That the way you speak on Shabbos is different than the way you speak during the week. The business dealings and the things you're involved in on Shabbos are different than what you're dealing with during the week. Okay, it's a pasuk in Yishayahu that Rashi points to. That's why. Because on Shabbos, you don't speak the same way. You don't talk business on Shabbos. Just like you don't talk business on Shabbos, you don't tell a non-Jew to do things that are malacha-oriented. You understand? That's the makor. That's the first source. Rashi in Avodah Zarah. By the way, that's why Shabbos is the only area of halacha that has something called the spirit of Shabbos. You always feel like I got a fake answer when the rabbi tells you, oh, it's not Shabbos day. How come no one ever says that by any other mitzvah? It's not sukkah's dick. It's not lulav. It's not in the spirit of lulav. It's not in the spirit of shatnez. But you never hear that by anywhere besides Shabbos. You know why? Because of this. This is the source. Okay. This is why it's only Shabbos that has that spirit of thing that almost no other halacha has. Shabbos, besides the literal halachas, there's a avirah. There's a way Shabbos is supposed to feel. And that's based on this pasuk. Mishum chefzecha daber davar in Yishayahu. So if somebody asks you in the street, where does the spirit of Shabbos thing come from? It's from this source, the Gemara says. This is the makor for that idea. By the way, it's the essence of Shabbos. You want to find a way to get into the baseball stadium, to get into the place on Shabbos if I have the tickets underneath. Stop playing games. Mishum chefzecha davar davar. The way you act on Shabbos is supposed to be fundamentally differently. You don't pull shtick when it comes to Shabbos. You want to pull shtick so you can figure out how to build an Erev, how you could sell the chametz. Fine, the halacha says I love shtick, go for it. But not when it comes to Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, we don't look for tricks and shtick. And the reason is because of this pasuk. So that's source number one for Amira La'akum. So L'chora, if that's the source for Amira La'akum, that should be okay if you're not telling the dog anything, right? If the whole reason is what you say and what you do on Shabbos should be different, let's say I don't say anything to the dog on Shabbos. Fluffy knows that when I'm in the elevator, Fluffy knows to press the button. Let's say Fluffy knows that when I'm, when I have a salad in front of me, I hate that there's avocado smearing everything. So Fluffy's going to pull out the avocado, the bad from good, which is borer. Fluffy's going to pull out the avocado. I don't say a word. So if the reason was the first reason, the whole dog situation would not be an issue. But that's reason number one for Amir La'akum. Reason number two is based on Rashi and Gemara Shabbos. Rashi says it's based on the concept of Shlucho Shel Adam Kamoso. It's based on the concept of making someone your shliach. It's like you yourself doing it. When you make the non-Jew a shliach for you to do X or Y, it's like you yourself are doing it. He becomes an extension of you. He becomes your shliach. If he's doing it for you, then he's like your shliach. So normally we only say a shliach is by a Jew. Because you have more in common, they become your shliach. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, extended shlichus to a non-Jew as well in certain instances. If it's reason number two, I'm going to argue that it should be also fine by the dog. Because who says you can make a dog a shliach of a human being? There's no such thing. The dog doesn't become your shliach. Wait. Shliachs by human beings. Dogs aren't shlichim in halacha. Yeah.
Like service dogs.
They'll do stuff for you, but they're not called your shliach in halacha. When halacha calls something a shliach, that needs like a certain meeting of the minds between two. Dogs don't have a meeting of the minds, even though they're doing it for you. It doesn't have a classic definition of a shliach. So I would say, according to the second reason, you're also in the clear with the, how do you say a dog in Yiddish? Or in German?
A Wiggenweissen.
A Wiggenweissen, no, is a slip and slide. What's a hunt? A hunt is a dog. A hunt. What's an emork? Is a pickle. Mark it down. Near the end of the call, I want to have a pickle party. I want to find out who makes the best pickles in LA.
I remember that from
Knott's Berry Farm. Bought 40 of those. That's them still know that. Right? And we're going to bring out the best pickle, best kosher pickle in LA. Throw down. Here, the Emork. The Emork Championship. Okay? Big poster we'll make. Fine. Now, here we go. Number three. Reason number three is the Rambam. So two from Rashi, one from Rambam. Rambam says that if you have a non-Jew going around doing all this work for you, even if you never asked him, it's going to be a zilzul, a desecration of Shabbos, because you'll never have Shabbos. Yeah, you didn't do anything, but you'll never feel a single Shabbos. He's going to turn on, the non-Jew's going to walk over, turn on the game for you. He's going to go over, throw you in the pool. He'll cook for you a steak. You'll never know what Shabbos is. You'll never feel a Shabbos. It's because of zilzul Shabbos. See, now, once you throw that Rambam into the mix, then the dog becomes a little bit more of a problem. I understand Amira, if the first reason, according to Rashi, it's about speaking different. So don't speak to the dog, just have symbols. Right, like that. The second reason, which made it about Shaliach, the dog can't be a Shaliach. And number three, which says it's about losing the sanctity of Shabbos because you'll never have a Shabbos, I think that third reason should apply when it comes to the dog.
What makes you say a dog can be a shliach?
Shliach needs a confirmation of das. Das, I need to. I can't make you a shliach because I have you deliver something, and you don't even know you're delivering it for me. You're not my shliach, and therefore you have no responsibilities. If you don't know you're my shliach, you're not my shliach. Why not? Because we need a meeting of the minds. We need das on both ends. You accepting the job, I'm giving you the job, and you accepting the job. That's why if I give something to a minor and the minor never delivers it, I can't sue the minor. There's no das by a minor. Das is only a
halakha. If I give a minor to do something for me, give tzedakah for me, it's my...
It's your responsibility. He can't be formalized.
So he's my shaliach. It's an extension of me.
He's not your shaliach. By a kid, a katan is not officially your shaliach. He could put it in for you because we consider giving tzedakah the moment it's out of your hands. But he's not your shaliach by a kid because you need a das. You need a meeting of the minds. You need to have someone who's on the same halachic page as you. Right, who can connect to you has das. A non-Jew, as far as this, has das. Yes.
But it comes to this in terms of Purim. Like, can you have a dog deliver shalach manos for you?
So by shalach manos, the question is, it says mishloach. The word mishloach seems to indicate that it should be sent by somebody. So there's a machlokas, there's a discussion whether or not a monkey, back to your Planet of the Apes, sugya, right, here's where it comes up. There's a discussion whether or not you could fulfill that aspect of mishloach from someone who can't really be your shliach. Meaning, maybe mishloach means it's got to get there. It's got to get there some way beside you. So hypothetically, you could put it on a drone and let the thing fly and get there. But when we say a shliach, we need someone who's going to be like you, and that's not going to be a dog. Now, I would say this. If we go this route where according to the Rambam it's a problem, then we should never be able to use a Shabbos clock. See, a Shabbos clock is something you program ahead of time to do an act which normally would be malacha. We allow Shabbos clocks. So, by the way, you know Rav Moshe Feinstein was not too into the whole Shabbos clock thing. He was against it, but almost all poskim in the world allow a Shabbos clock to shut off the lights, to turn on the lights. We allow a Shabbos clock. Hypothetically speaking, we don't do this. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos, but you could program computers and robots and Alexa and whoever else to activate almost anything you want ahead of time so you don't have to do it on Shabbos. Forget about commanding Alexa on Shabbos. Different topic. But you can preempt ahead of time things and have your whole home program, the Nest and all that kind of chazarai, the whole thing could be pre-programmed. So we're going down a slippery road if we do this, and we would have to tread carefully. Just to close this discussion for today, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein has a whole sefer on Amira La'akum, and he discusses a trained monkey. And he wants to bring a proof from Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul Zatzal was one of the greatest Sephardi poskim of this last generation. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul says a proof from the Gemara. And listen carefully, this is a high level. Once in a while, I'll drop something that takes a little more usage of the mind than passive listening. I will call this high quality stuff. Okay, so right here is a high quality stuff moment. I'll just say it out. If you got it, you got it. Don't worry, we'll move on. The Gemara in Shabbos 9a, listen to this proof, it's sharp. The Gemara in Shabbos 9a says you could put food in front of a dog in a courtyard, and if the dog ends up taking the food out, it's not caring. Don't worry, you didn't carry it. Let's say you put food in front of a non-Jew on Shabbos and he takes it out of the courtyard. It's not caring. Brings both, the animal and the case of the non-Jew. So the Gemara asks, why do I need both? And then gives you a reason of why you needed both cases. Says Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul. Right? Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul says, what do you mean, why do I need both? There's a very simple reason. Because by a non-Jew, there's something called Amira La'akum. And by an animal, there's not. From the fact the Gemara did not give that as an answer, right? The Gemara said, why do you need both? And it came up with a fancy reason why you need both. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul says, from the fact the Gemara did not answer, oh, because they're different. One is a Amira La'akum issue, and one does not have an Amira issue, shows you the problem of Amira, or having a non-Jew and an animal do something for you, applies by both. That's Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul's proof that there's a problem of having dog doing malacha for you, there's a problem of a non-Jew doing malacha for you, and both are going to be on the same page. At the end of the day, if the dog is doing things on its own for its own comfort, whatever it is, that would be permissible and you can get hanah from it. But if it's doing it for you, I would say from Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul and from the Rambam at the end, one should avoid it, one should not have him do it. Okay, we'll stop there in terms of the